Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Wednesday, the 13th of March. Wonderful to have you aboard, and great to be in your presence. We have a wonderful panel assembled. First of all, I don't know if you all know this, but Ray's out sick today. Ray was supposed to be on our panel today.
we send our
good wishes.
Feel
to,
better, Ray.
To Ray. So our roundtable on the roundtable this morning, our open discussion of issues in the news and beyond for the next hour. We have a wonderful panel. Dr. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
There you go. WAMC News team members David Gustina and Ian Pickus here. Ian Pickus, of course, our brand spanking new news director. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And you're the volunteers.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, our morning edition host, David Gustina, who said to me just a little while ago, I don't feel like I've been on the air enough today.
please,
can
another
I just
hour.
Can I stay on for a little,
just
a little
one
longer,
more hour.
Please?
And Sarah will be coming in with the updates from the social media, right?
That's right. And let me tell you how you get involved in that. Thank you, Alan. You have put the ball on a tee. Now, you can join us online by tweeting to @WAMCRoundtable. By going to the roundtable page at WAMC.org and commenting on the post associated with this discussion, or commenting at facebook.com/WAMC radio. There is a post there as well. And you are feel free to comment. We would love to hear from you. And as Alan mentioned, Sarah will be in a little bit to read some of your comments. So if you want to be a part of that, be a part of it, please. Let us begin with what I find to be a fascinating story, because, you think of you think that things are if you do something for 200-300 years, maybe you get it right,
Yeah, right.
Well, Harvard screwed up. So they are apologizing for this. Are you landing a plane? What are you doing? Okay, I'm going to go on. Harvard is apologizing for a secret email search. It's a cheating scandal at Harvard. It got bigger, and this time the focus is not on the students. It is on administrators,
right.
And they are under fire. On Monday, the school apologized for the way it handled a secret search of the email accounts of resident deans. It conducted the search in an effort to find who leaked information about the scandal to the media last year. So this is damage control.
Harvard.
Causing more damage.
So what do you make of this practice of going through emails, Alan, and to find out who's leaking what?
Well, I do believe that employers generally have the right to do it.
They do.
But it is not a good idea. And what happens is, everybody's handbook says you can do it if you want. But here's Harvard. They consider themselves, at least I think they do, as one of the elite institutions in the world, if not the elitist of institutions in the world. And it's just not nice.
Well, wouldn't you think too, Alan? I think we can all agree that they're pretty smart over there at Harvard. And maybe one of the things as a professional you need to do is assume that they are looking.
Yeah, I suppose. But I disagree with your basic premise.
On the smartness?
Yes.
The other thing, too, here is that there is so much made about the privacy of the students, and there was some concern that by looking into the email accounts of the deans, that students' information would have been compromised.
That's against the federal law.
Yeah. So, that's another issue. And look, they obviously felt that they made a mistake because they apologized for it. And I guess an email search that isn't secret probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, but just remind everybody, Joe, what this is all about in terms of what happened in terms of the cheating scandal.
Well, the whole scandal, there was this. So you have concern about the school announced that more than half the students were implicated in this cheating scandal, and they were required to withdraw for a time. More than 100 students were investigated for
half the students in that class, I think it was.
Plagiarism for inappropriately collaborating on a course's take-home open book spring final exam.
Sure.
Now, how lazy of a professor do you have to be for that one?
Now, all three of us, and soon to be Ian, are you teaching yet?
In the fall.
In the fall.
Knock
so
on wood.
All four of us are teachers and in college classes, and we know that's asking for trouble.
Take home open book spring final at Harvard. Okay.
You know what they say about Harvard, Joe? Hard in, easy out.
Okay.
That's what they say.
And then,
whoever they are.
The class, Government 1310, Introduction to Congress, was the course. And many of those.
What is a filibuster?
And
we did that on Monday.
That's right. Many of those who were not forced to withdraw faced disciplinary probation at the Ivy League institution in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the remaining were cleared. So I'm going with you here, Alan, of asking the question of, you know, don't you see that coming? It just seems like you're setting that up for disaster when you send home an open book final, that obviously there could be collaboration.
You know, and one of the things that gets me is that you make a mistake even that early in life, and it can stay with you forever.
Indeed. Yes.
I would hate to think that they were doing this as a test of some kind of honor code or something else. I don't think so. But I do think people never think early in life. I always talk to my students about this. Early in life, what you can do that will stick with you forever. Now, some people get stuck, and some people go sailing through life having done some things they would not like to see on the front page of the New York Times, but they get away with
it. You know, there are three things come to mind of what you just mentioned. One is that I remember George Will years ago when Bill Clinton was running for president, and he said, I believe that whatever you do in college should not count at any time on the record. You just take that out of the entire, whatever happens in those 4, 6, or 8 years, just take that out of the record.
Everybody shouldn't exist.
I have to say I agree with that.
I would extend that for the next 6 years after college.
Yes, you're right. You know,
really, 35 and under.
Well, let's just extend it right on through, shall we?
You know, let you get to the end.
Give me a break.
Get your sea legs, you know, at very least. The other thing, too, is, you know, my niece is going into a forensic science program. She and her classmates will, who are they going to be hired by? Well, they're going to be hired by the government. They tell them on the first day, we were there for the first day of
orientation.
Orientation. Thank you.
Orientation.
And I was disoriented at orientation. But they come in and they say, look, if you screw up, you're not going to get a job. You do something stupid, you're not going to get a job. You're done.
And Joe, you're profound in using that example of the forensic science, because look at the whole idea of what has happened in Massachusetts with that forensic scientist who has now compromised all of those
drug convictions at the drug lab.
Now that's something that 101 should have taught you. You don't do it.
Right. And it is. And in Connecticut had the same problem. And it is it's an issue. So they tell you, look, be careful what you put on Facebook.
Maybe
don't have a Facebook account. Be careful what you do on Twitter. Maybe don't have a Twitter account. And this is what these kids are being told going into school. So there's that as well.
But there's also just a change in mindset among the kids now. And I mean, if you read the reporting about some of the elite high schools in New York City, which are springboards for Harvard students.
You bet.
Yeah.
They're cheating in eighth grade, mm-hmm. and that just becomes the new mindset of how you get to Harvard in the first place. So I think, you know, a lot of these students don't see the moral distinction anymore once they've been doing it since they were 13.
And to Alan's original point, what made me think of this was what Alan just said. When we saw Bill McKibben at the Egg, and the environmentalist Bill McKibben was speaking at a WAMC event down at the Egg, and he said, you know, he was protesting the pipeline and the Keystone Pipeline, and he said, look, I'm 50 some years old, and I'm tenured, I'm successful, I feel like I can get arrested, but I'm telling these kids, you know, be careful what you do, because I don't know that this isn't going to come back and bite you.
Or, sure. as they say, be a part of your, quote, permanent record.
That's right.
Right.
You know, and that's interesting. So it's something, but it also seems as though it's obviously in this Harvard case that it's something that even the, you know, the deans of Harvard have to be careful of as well.
And I don't know, Ian, if you would agree on this with young people, but, the, you know, we can't accept our emails as private communications anymore. They're, you know, especially when we're at work, you have to be aware that anything you're doing or saying could be grabbed by anybody and put out there for everybody else to see.
Do any of you feel, I mean, this is a larger conversation, but do any of you feel that, I mean, I have this feeling, so I'm positing it, but that really nothing that we do is private. You know, I mean, I feel
that's
like that when we go to the bank and we take out our money and there's the camera there and we walk down the street and they can tell you where you are and there's this whole issue about Google with Google Maps
yeah.
and all that stuff. And
there's a story on Marketplace about how the marketers are sending information to young women who they are assuming have become pregnant because of the products they're buying, and the fathers and the mothers are seeing this stuff come to the house in the mail and why is my kid getting stuff for babies?
And somebody will write on their Facebook page, hey, Justin Timberlake was really funny on Saturday Night Live. And then 2 minutes later, you get an ad on the corner going, Justin Timberlake tickets on sale at the Paramount Theater in New York City. I mean, it's interesting. And you do wonder, you know, is there anything?
Well, on the other hand, the police are, we have some cameras out in front of our building, I don't mind saying, because there have been incidents.
That's protection for the staff.
Well, yes, it's protection for the staff and the rest of it. So there's always a balancing act that goes on here. I was saying to David earlier today that the New York City cab drivers are furious because it's like playing musical chairs at a party.
Sure.
If they have two wheels out in the thing when the light changes, they get a ticket in the mail because of the cameras.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing when you're going down the thruway, and you have your Easy Pass, you click on at exit 23, you get off at exit 19, and if it's faster than they figure out, that's
really?
65
Is
miles
that right?
an hour.
That's
you get
right.
A ticket
you get
the
a
mail.
Ticket in the mail.
I had
not
no
that
idea.
I've ever
because I
no.
I go 68. I go 68, and there is there's always somebody who is passing me.
Well, right.
Yeah, but
well,
I don't
sure.
know.
It's let me just say that I may have gotten two, although I believe I may not have been driving.
Oh.
One of those new Google cars?
Yeah, but what about, wasn't there
maybe
a scandal
spouse.
In the beginning about taking a picture of you and whoever
yes.
was sitting next
yes.
to you?
Yes.
Yes.
That couldn't be good.
Right.
For some
yeah,
people.
That could be bad.
Well, and we see with Google the story that's out there today about them taking passwords and information that anybody can use some of this
yeah,
stuff for ill.
It. Yeah, yeah, David.
Well, again,
it's the old thing. Don't write anything down. Once you start, you know, and that goes back to the Harvard scandal here. They said they ran a line just on the subject line, a search on the subject line of these emails to see where the leak came from. Once you start looking, you're not going to leave it at the subject line.
No. You're gonna go for
deeper.
Especially if you don't find what you're looking for, you're gonna go even deeper. Absolutely,
it's like you can't get that top back on the bottle.
We would love to, or put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Genie,
see what other ones.
Genie
we can
back
come
in the
up.
Bottle. Pandora. Absolutely. Hey, we got till
the coffee back in the mug.
We've got till 10 o'clock. You can join us online by tweeting at WAMC Roundtable by going to the Roundtable page at WAMC.org and commenting on the posts associated with this discussion, or comment at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There is a post there as well. When we come back, we will talk about the Boy Scouts again in the news, having to do with their discussion of letting gays into the ranks of the Boy Scouts in a survey they have put out. We will take the survey here. Also, we will talk about Pope Watch 2013, and we'll also have a discussion about a warning on cyber attacks, that and much more, coming up on our roundtable on the Roundtable here on WAMC. Welcome back to our roundtable on the roundtable discussion.
Sorry.
Were you singing along?
Still singing along to the music.
Yeah, bopping to the music. That's all right.
It's kind of cool.
We allow that.
All right.
We have a few minutes before we go over to NPR News. And certainly the big story throughout the world is the Pope Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Another vote was taken this morning. Yesterday, the black smoke billowed from the Vatican, and indicating that there was no Pope selected. This morning, again, the smoke emerged. and it is right there in the Sistine Chapel, and out it comes, and you say, okay, well, we still don't have a pope. We expect maybe two more votes today and see what happens. And it's interesting. I find this is a media story. It's fascinating because we're basically watching a smokestack and really have nothing to say.
Well, you can say something. I mean, for example, today, I'm fascinated by the fact that, what's his name, the basketball player, Rodman, is that his name?
Yes, yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Going up there, is apparently going to be in St. Peter's Square today, trying to...
He's our new diplomat.
Yeah, trying to make sure that there's that a black cardinal is promoted to a pope. And yet, when you've heard all of the discussions by everybody, including... The cardinals who are, you know, of color and the rest, they're all saying, no, it has nothing to do with color. But you know that if it's the first Ghanaian pope, they're going to be making a huge thing out of it. And it's going to have a lot to do with color or denying color to become the pope. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that does lead to our analysis of what's going on in the church.
And a lot of the coverage, you know, on your networks focus on things like, well, they don't really know how to make the black smoke, or, right. you know, focusing on the
well,
video
that's,
or
that's
things like
silliness.
That, you know,
yeah, right.
and it's
well,
not really
it is,
dealing with the seriousness.
You know, it is silly, I agree, except that, you know, I mean, we just saw it a few moments ago because they just have these the cameras, and then all of a sudden you say, oh my God, is that white smoke?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it sort of like starts to turn gray and then black, and you're like, oh, okay.
Plus, it's secret, so, I mean, supposedly we'll never find out what the vote was, although I understand that it usually leaks later, but it's there are not too many things where the entire world is shut out from knowing exactly what's going on anymore, and this mm-hmm. seems to be one of them mm-hmm. still.
Absolutely, and it's one of those moments, and that's what I said, that's why the media coverage is so fascinating, because you're really just watching a smokestack and assuming and kind of speculating as to what's going on, and to your point, Alan, of you know, you hope that the conversations are taking place of, you know, how is this going to go to improve the church? How is this going to strengthen a church that has fundamental issues?
Well, that's right. And some of those fundamental issues, like, for example, the sex scandals and the rest of it, you better believe that there's a lot of vetting going on, not only about the personalities or who the cardinals are, but what happened in their jurisdictions,
right?
You know, when they were there. So you know, I think you make a very good point.
I think it's interesting the politicking, apparently, that I heard this on CNN last night, where they were talking about they take the vote, and you sort of see the emergence of maybe someone who has a little bit of traction, and then the real politicking takes place back at the hotel, where everyone is like, all right, well, let's have dinner and talk to this person and do this. And that's where the lobbying begins. And it's a really fascinating process.
You get the sense that the fix isn't in. In other words,
there's
still negotiations and discussions going
on. Well, somebody mentioned that, you know, this isn't like it's attack ad politics. You know, you don't have that. It's basically going from cardinal to cardinal to work on a relationship to try to get, usually on behalf of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Now, to Ian's point, in terms of transparency, interesting stuff, because, you know, we will not accept the fact that there's a fair election anywhere in the world without observers, you know, being present, including some of our own elections now. And yet we have to take it, and this is an interesting word, on faith, that what's going on there, that there's no fix going on. Now, we know that there's been a major series of scandals in the Vatican Bank, for example, and some of the same people who were involved in those scandals are, now sitting in that room.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all fascinating stuff. We're going to be obviously talking a lot more about it, and we'll be covering it throughout the day, certainly if a selection takes place. Again, you can join us online, wamc.org/roundtable. Go to the roundtable page. Welcome back to our roundtable on the roundtable. Our panel this morning, Dr. Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Joe.
Hello. suddenly, Bob Newhart entered the studio. WAMC News Team members, David Gustina, our morning edition host. Good morning, David.
Yo.
And Ian Pickus, our news director, is here as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are talking about several issues, and we'd love for you to take part. All you have to do is tweet us at WAMC. WAMC Roundtable. You can go to the Roundtable page at WAMC.org and comment on the post associated with this discussion, or comment at Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There's a post there as well. We are talking about the issue now about Boy Scout leadership sending out a survey to families on admitting openly gay members. This has been the story that simply will not die. Almost over a year ago, the Boy Scouts made a decision and said, we are not going to admit gay members into the Boy Scouts. Done. And then they came out earlier this year and said, all right, we're going to rethink this. We're going to have a vote, and we're going to, next week when we meet, we're going to vote again, and chances are we're probably going to overturn this. Then, when that time came, they put it off. And now we are at the point where they are surveying their members. The Boy Scouts of America sent a questionnaire to adult volunteers and parents of Scouts asking their views on allowing gay individuals to participate in various scouting activities. The survey, according to the organization, is part of an effort to decide whether to repeal the longstanding policy that bans openly gay adults from youth from scouting. Dean Smith, a spokesman for the Boy Scouts, said that the electronic survey was sent to the email addresses of 1.1 million people currently involved in scouting, and later it will be sent to scouting alumni. We are in a listening phase, says the Boy Scouts. Now, the interesting thing is the survey itself. It is fascinating. It has been printed in several news publications. Here, it is rather short, I will say. There are four questions that they ask, and you describe this the best, David. I think there is you have the options of that. I find this totally acceptable to totally unacceptable, mm-hmm. and then there's five choices between that range. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you get to, and then you pick the box of which you feel. So
the middle one is just when's dinner,
right? Yeah. So here are a few of the questions. Tom started in the program as a Tiger Cub and finished every requirement for the Eagle Scout Award at 16 years of age. At his board of review, Tom reveals that he is gay. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the review board to deny his Eagle Scout Award based on that admission?
Interesting.
Question two. Bob is 15 years old and the only openly gay scout in a Boy Scout troop. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the troop leader to allow Bob to tent with a heterosexual boy on an overnight camping trip? Three, a gay male troop leader, along with another adult leader, is taking a group of boys on a camping trip following the youth protection guidelines of Too Deep Leadership. Is it acceptable or unacceptable for the gay adult leader to take adolescent boys on an overnight camping trip? This is fascinating to me. I don't know what you think. Again, it seems as though the question comes, certainly the third question is that for some reason anyone who may be homosexual is also a pedophile.
Yes,
it's ridiculous.
Don't.
Also, the issue that a gay teen, that no matter what other boy you put them, would then be attracted to that person is also seems to be an insult and an affront. But what do you make of the
Well, I think one of the complications here, obviously, is parents, which is why they've sent this survey out. I mean, it may be one thing for the Boy Scouts to say, okay, we're going to allow gays in, but then if you're on an individual scouting group that's out on a camping trip and a parent doesn't want that, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Were you a scout, David?
Yeah, a Cub Scout, not a Boy Scout.
Ian, were you?
I was not.
Joe, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, and me too. I love the Boy Scouts.
I did too.
I did.
I
love the Boy Scouts. It was a great time. And we clearly had people who were gay in our troop. And people knew it. Sometimes they inappropriately gossiped about it. But nobody ever threw anybody out because of it. And your point, Joe, is exactly right. At the point at which a leader becomes a pedophile, arrest him.
That's right.
But if his sexual orientation as long as he's not a pedophile, should never be the criteria, at least in my mind.
Let's open up this discussion just one more fold, sure. And that is about, and Alan, I'm sure as with your expertise in political communication, that we talk so much about how we take polls, how we take surveys, and how you ask the question. I mean, yeah. How are we leading the jury in the way these questions are worded?
Absolutely. And you can be sure that there have been intervening people who have checked in on this, which is why, as you put it before, there is such a mess in terms of making this decision, because people with money, people who have supported it before, are saying, don't you dare, or if you don't, you know, then I'm going to get on your case. Whatever happened to doing the right thing? You know, just doing the right thing and letting the chips fall where they may. Now, you know, in our society, as I think Ian pointed out mm-hmm. earlier, maybe off mic, you want to say it, Ian?
Sure. I was saying that I think the conversation has moved past where the Boy Scouts are right now by about a decade. And I think mm-hmm. the President of the United States has come out in support of same-sex marriage. The Vice President forced his hand. New York State 2 years ago okayed same-sex marriage.
Colorado yesterday.
States all over the place are getting on board. And when you read this survey, it, to me, seems almost old-fashioned. And I think the Times makes the bigger point that if, you know, the Boy Scouts is losing $200,000 in certain areas because groups are no longer making the donations about this issue, that may force the Boy Scouts' hand. In the end, whether it's a right or wrong issue at all, it's going to become too much of a distraction, I would think. Mm-hmm.
So, which brings up the question, and I guess because I just maybe because I'm married to one a PR person that I think of it in this way, mm-hmm. but I mean they could have dealt with this a long time ago and avoided a lot of this damage. And I just wonder. It seems as though they're deliberately. And I don't mean deliberately, but of dragging it out. I mean, you make the decision and, okay, either stick with that decision or reverse it. But now we're going into our second, third year of having this discussion and once again having this organization that most of us in this room have very fond memories
oh, yeah.
of sullied. And I don't know how you justify that as an organization.
And what do you do when – oh, sorry.
No, please.
What do you do when these survey results come back and 43% say, I don't want gays in the Boy Scouts and 57% are okay with it? That's not definitive, but is that the end of the discussion? Is there enough political will in that survey result to move on from this, or do we just drag it out again?
And I would also argue that, you know, they're doing alumni and they are talking to current members, but what about people who are just turned off from the organization and communities that will not even bring scouting into their regions because they're considered an anti-gay organization?
And yes. It gets even worse because there are service organizations, Rotaries, for example, which support their local Boy Scout troop. Now, you're not only getting the question asked in the Scouts itself, you're going to get the question asked in that Rotary Club as to whether or not we should be basically endorsing this, this very discriminatory way of being.
Also, you know, and this sounds snarky, but it and I don't mean it to be this way, but I mean the Girl Scouts do not have this problem.
No.
It's interesting. It's quite fascinating. I mean, they're not dealing with these issues, and I think that when we look, I agree with Ian. You know, what happens when the results come back, and how you read those, and you wonder what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
I guess
what is the pillow they're looking for?
You guys,
how much can they couch this thing?
You guys remember the game of Saluji? Do you remember Saluji?
No.
Well, I remember you talking about
some
it.
Some people monkey in the middle, but there were two guys throwing
the
a ball.
Yeah, sure.
We used to call it Saluji. Throwing the ball, and it's the poor guy in the middle has to sort of look at one end and look at the other end. Try to
Bob Saluji.
Yeah, try to
Bob
Saluji. Governor Saluji.
Yeah, he lived on 92nd Street. Nice kid.
But he was in the middle.
He was a little weird, but he was a nice kid.
So you say, well, Joe, you posited the question. So what's really going on? Why can't they just make a decision and stick with it? Because they're the monkey in the middle. I think to some degree, Andrew Cuomo is the monkey in the middle on fracking right now. And it just eats you up.
But as you said, Alan, there's right and there's wrong here, right? And if that's you're the Boy Scouts and you're in America, and if our ideals in America say equal for everyone, no matter what your sexual orientation, then the right thing to do is allow them in. And if there's a problem with pedophilia or something like that, arrest the person.
And especially when it's an organization that is founded on helping little old ladies across the street.
Yes.
I mean, my God, we're talking about an organization of doing good and one of respect to other people, and then you're turning around and saying...
And disrespecting people.
This. I don't know. It's a...
And, you know, this is also, as David brought up, if the parents, you know, if there's a gay scout leader in a group and the kid is going on a sleepaway trip and the parents don't want the kid to go...
You have a choice.
Yes.
Then don't be in that group. Don't be in the Boy Scouts.
I know a guy very well who had a gay scout leader years ago. Gay scout leader couldn't have been a better person.
Absolutely.
Never made a pass at anybody, never did anything like that. So it's just really discrimination of the worst kind. And as Joe just pointed out, why have an organization which is dedicated to doing good, and you said the same thing, David, basically practicing the worst kind of discrimination.
It shows how much we still struggle with these things in this country.
Yeah.
And you could have you could get on the bus and have a gay bus driver and have a gay teacher in school and have a gay babysitter after school.
Coach.
And never know any of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But what if we take a vote, as you said before, Ian, and people vote against allowing gays into the scouts, we wouldn't permit it under our Constitution Court. This is a separate organization. That's all been settled already. So they can do what they want, but not necessarily what's right in this case. And it really is a blemish on them.
Well, right. And I say, you know, not only what's right, and certainly that is at the forefront, but you do think that it spells the demise of the organization if they are looking to grow and gain respect, if that
they
is
need to come
a,
up 10 more years.
Yeah. It seems to be an unfortunate blemish on an organization that has meant so much to so many people.
And, of course, one of the big problems is that some of these groups, the scout troops, are sponsored by religious organizations.
That's true.
Yeah,
so those religious organizations have, you know, their own issues, which I don't approve of, but they have them. Then that gets a little messy, too, in terms of the great game of Saluji.
We are...
Here's the ball.
We're going to take a break. We're going to check on the rules of playing a great game of Saluji. And then we are going to have Sarah come in and give us an update on what people have to say about the issues we've been talking about. A reminder, you can join us online. You can tweet us. You can Facebook us. And we will continue with our discussion, our roundtable discussion here on the roundtable after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable on the Roundtable. I'm Joe.
I'm Alan.
I'm Ian.
I'm over here.
David is currently mic-less because Sarah's in the studio.
Hi guys.
Sarah LaDuc, our producer.
Gentlemen.
Good morning. I feel like I should have a tie on.
New York City is presently going to be in that very same situation because of, you know, limitations on how many times you can run for office. Mic-less.
Oh my God.
I was trying to make a Quinn connection.
I was like, David will be there and nobody will hear him. I don't know what you mean.
What are people saying, Sarah?
People are saying, we have on Facebook, Alice said, enough Pope stuff already. Constant NPR coverage, preempting on TV to watch the Cardinals walk in, watch the smoke. Why is this so important that we need minute-to-minute coverage? Let's get back to U.S. politics, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that one is a review.
All right.
Which you heralded yesterday. On Twitter, Laurel said, the Boy Scouts already have more gay members than they think. Time for them to allow openness and stop being backwards. And we got an email from Sarah, not me, who says, just wondering this, if you were a gay young teen, why would you even want to join an organization that had this policy, even if they overturn it?
That's a great point. You know, I mean, I think that is a really interesting point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of people who have been shut out for all kinds of reasons, not only gays, but others, people who are of color and others have wanted equality and have fought for it, sometimes to the point that they get killed for it. We certainly know about that. So it seems to me there's a greater point here.
So if people want to weigh in on the conversation and they want to have your eyeballs on what they have to say, how do they get in touch?
Well, there's only a few ways they can do that. We have an email address, roundtable@wamc.org. We have a website, wamc.org. Okay. There's a post on the roundtable page, and they can comment on that.
Wait, I don't get that. So if you go to the webpage itself,
yeah,
then you have to look for the roundtable page on
webpage,
right? It's on the left-hand side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm speaking for the 70-year-olds.
That's okay.
Okay,
yeah.
And there is a thing right on the front where it says on the roundtable, and if you just click on that, it'll bring you right to the roundtable.
Okay, great.
So there's a post.
It's very easy.
There's a post that says,
not for me,
3/13/2013 roundtable on the roundtable. That's today's date and this segment. And if you comment on that, we'll see that. Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC radio. There's a post again, 3/13/13 roundtable on the roundtable, and our Twitter feed, twitter.com/WAMC roundtable. You can reply to us at WAMC roundtable.
Do you think we've given people too many choices?
Well, there's also the white smoke.
Yeah. You know, you can text Joe at, yeah, just kidding.
And Roselle has always said, you know, to the kids when they were growing up, what kind of scrambled eggs do you want?
Right. Well, that's true. But I think, you know, I think you're more of a Twitter person. I tend to be a Facebook person.
Oh, I'm both.
You know, you're both.
I'm fairly
you're
both.
You're bi, yeah, in that regard.
You know, I like all of the internet.
There you go. I think that's, you know, so you try to make it available.
People can use what they want to use, and I'll keep refreshing all of the pages.
She's an F5 maven.
Are you one of those people who have like 5 screens in front of you, like one of those geniuses?
You've seen my desk. I have the one screen, but lots of tabs.
Can you divide it? You know, this. No,
I don't need another screen. We're okay.
Gotcha.
All right.
Sarah, thank you very much.
Only a few more minutes. Please get out on time.
Okay.
Good to see you.
We have gotten our
orders.
Our orders from our producer. All right. Let us, 2 things I want to touch on. 1, very, very briefly, but I just find it interesting. The director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, presented his yearly congressional report on security threats facing the nation, and cyber attacks appear for the first time to get top billing. And I think this sort of actually goes into what we were just talking about of the power of the internet. And so here we are. And are we ready for that?
And many of them seem to be coming from China.
Yeah.
And it's clear we don't know what he knows. And in fact, if you listen to his testimony, it's fascinating because he says, I don't even want to be here. You know, I don't even want to be here because I don't think it's appropriate that your director, your security guy, is here being asked questions, which raises some profound questions in itself. You know, if these guys are running everything and they just are saying, hey, you know, this should not be transparent, that goes to our earlier discussion today about all the cameras and everything else. At what point do we stop being a democracy because we don't have information?
It was in this article I was reading. The first line is, if he was trying to scare the hell out of his listeners about the current state of cybersecurity, consider the newest warning from the nation's top intelligence office official, a mission accomplished.
Well, it is frightening to imagine what kind of things they can break into, the information they can get, bank accounts, things like that. I mean, we're, again, in an age when it seems like nothing is safe when it comes to this digital electronic communication.
Think of all of us who have gone through, I have a very close relative, whose email account was, hijacked.
Just happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, did it?
And I had to change my password 2 days ago because they notified me that it's compromised.
You were able to change your password.
Yes.
My close personal friend and relative, what happened is somebody grabbed the email, the password,
yes,
changed the account so that the original person couldn't even get into her own account again.
Right. And I've seen that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to end our conversation today on hopefully what is a great note, and that is, and I say this to 3 people in this room who have ties to the university at Albany, but no matter what happens on Saturday morning in Burlington, Vermont, the University at Albany basketball team is looking to make their way into the NCAA. This would be, what, the third time since 1999.
Was that the tournament, you mean?
The Big Dance. 64 teams get into, 64-ish.
68 now.
Yeah, they kind of expanded it. But into these into the bracket. And this would be the third time that UAlbany has made it in. And
is this March Madness?
This is March Madness.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Very nice. And look, this is a huge deal. So I look to our basketball correspondent Ian Pickus and say, and also UAlbany alum.
Yeah. He's excited about this.
This is a huge deal.
I'm into it. I've got the fever. No, and by the way, we should say the men and the women are both playing for a tournament bid on Saturday.
The women have been incredible.
Kicking it. I mean,
what do you mean you're playing for a tournament bid? What does that mean?
Well, in these small leagues like Albany's, only the champion of the league gets an invite.
Oh, I see.
To March Madness, to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. So you have to win, which puts a lot of pressure on, you know, the playoffs, and it puts a lot of pressure on Saturday, but it's probably the sweetest thing in sports when one of these little schools gets it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the women are, they're incredibly good. They're undefeated
in the conference.
I was watching
a women's game, I guess, a repeat, but I was watching a game, I guess, yesterday, and my God, they're incredible, and they're fun to watch.
They are. They have they have Ebony Henry in the backcourt, the women, and she's just a scoring machine, and they've been fun to watch for 2 years. They won last year. This year, they're even better. The men are a little more of a surprise to be in this championship position on Saturday. They have to go to Vermont, which is a place they've not often won, but they did
win a title there. They won that big victory there, though.
And they weren't expected to win yesterday, right?
On Sunday. Yeah.
No. So it's up in the hills up there, you know, so the air is thinner. Why they don't win.
And the gym is smaller and hotter, but it's so exciting. I mean, I was into Valparaiso Wright State last night in the Horizon League a little bit. It's this time of year when everyone has a chance to be in the limelight, even if they're the small guy. And that could be Albany on Saturday, just for the third time.
Is there more parity now, Ian?
There definitely is.
And what does that mean?
The difference between the very good schools and the very small schools is getting
smaller. It doesn't always
have
to be Georgetown. It doesn't always have to be Duke. It doesn't always
seems like smaller schools are getting in now.
And last year, Lehigh beat Duke.
Yes.
You know, on the second night of the tournament. So anything is possible. And that's what makes it so magical is that, you know, you get in, that's all you need. You need that one shot to get in. And on the first day, anyone can win the whole thing.
And, I mean, that's what makes the bracket so fascinating is because very few people can get that right totally. I mean, it's just because there's always surprises. You know, you think you know what's going to happen and you don't. And there's always that small school that takes over for a little bit, and it's a lot of fun.
Like Linsanity or something like that?
Well, that's the NBA,
that's the
NBA. But same idea.
No, I know that.
Underdog.
No, but I mean that. You know, that
absolutely.
So all of a sudden something comes out of somewhere that people don't expect.
Exactly.
And then it goes away.
Are you going to be in Burlington?
I will not be there Saturday. I'll be watching. Yeah. But I...
Because it's on the morning, what, 10?
It's an 11:30 tip, which is a demonstration of how small the America East Conference is. The game is on at 11:30 in the morning.
I won't be watching.
No. But also, Vermont is the toast of the league, and they're in this championship all the time, so they're a big favorite, I think. But whoever gets in, it's just very exciting.
Well, cool stuff, and we'll be watching it all. A reminder again, of course, you can join us online by tweeting at WAMC Roundtable, by going to our Roundtable page, or by going to facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. If you want to do an hour on basketball sometime this week, just let me know.
Maybe Friday.